Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So thank you for attending this afternoon and participating in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Some of you were chanting, some of you were just listening. But whether you were chanting or just listening, still the benefit is there spiritually. And the teachings of Krishna for those who are just coming for the first time, mainly contained in this book here I've got in front of me called Bhagavad Gita. And in one verse, Krishna asks Arjuna, he says, have you heard all this knowledge that I've been speaking? And have you heard it all with an attentive mind? And is your ignorance now gone? Is your illusion now dispelled? So Krishna was speaking on different things like yoga and reincarnation, karma, all these different types of things, the subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. And he made a point of asking Arjuna with the, you know, he said that one has to actually be very attentive to understanding these types of subject matters. And tonight the devotees were chanting with great exuberance and enthusiasm this Hare Krishna mantra, which is a spiritual sound vibration type of meditation or yoga. Generally people associate yoga with more sort of quiet practice, but yoga can be also just like yourself dancing and chanting. And these sound vibrations, the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra, is not material, it's spiritual. So it is a meditation, it is a yoga. And Krishna asked this question to Arjuna because he's been explaining all these things, and he took the position of a guru. He became the guru of Arjuna. And as the guru, as a teacher, he wanted to know whether he understood everything about yoga, karma, reincarnation, all those types of things. And he was ready to re-explain any point that Arjuna may have not understood. He was ready actually to re-explain the whole Bhagavad Gita, if necessary. So this is the position of a spiritual teacher. And any teacher really, I guess, has to be very tolerant and make sure that the students are listening and understanding. It's no good at teaching and the students don't understand. The idea is that the student should pass. If the teacher's teaching and all the students in the class fail, then that's not very good. Although sometimes students think that the teachers are just there to fail them, and they go out of their way to fail them. Actually, you know, if they're any sort of teacher at all, they'll want the students to pass. And certainly Krishna wants Arjuna to understand, but moreover, you know, Krishna's speaking for all time and all place and all circumstance, and speaking to all of us, because the wisdom of yoga and reincarnation and all this discussion on karma, our situation as living entities in connection with the Supreme, this is all timeless. And so really Krishna is speaking to all of us, although seemingly he's speaking to Arjuna many thousands of years ago. So here our founder Srila Prabhupada comments on this particular verse from Bhagavad Gita. And he says that this should be the result of any type of yoga or spiritual practice, that one gets out of illusion and one gets out of ignorance, because at the moment we're not situated in true knowledge. And we have to come to that position of enlightenment and transcendental knowledge. So when one is not in transcendental knowledge, then that's a type of ignorance, and that's also a type of illusion. So any spiritual teacher wants to see the disciple come out of that ignorance and come to the platform of transcendental knowledge. So at this time, as I said, Krishna spoke this many thousands of years ago, and all those who came to Krishna at that time and got the benefit of his association of transcendental knowledge. More recently, an incarnation of Krishna appeared by the name of Lord Chaitanya. And you'll see, well, there's Krishna and Arjuna here. I was just speaking about Krishna. Those who have come for the first time, there's the picture of Krishna in the chariot there and Arjuna in the back. And then Lord Chaitanya is behind there, another incarnation of Krishna. And there's, of course, a painting of our founder, Srila Prabhupada. All over here, you'll see different paintings and pictures like that. So Lord Chaitanya came, and Lord Chaitanya wanted to distribute this divine love, this prema, to everyone. And although Krishna made distinction, or anyone who comes will get that benefit, Lord Chaitanya didn't make any distinction between who came or didn't came. He just gave it out. So it was Lord Chaitanya especially who took the chanting, just like you saw tonight. He took that chanting into the streets, and sometimes you'll see Hare Krishna devotees chanting. Sometimes we go through here, through North Bridge and into the city. All over the world we'll chant like that and give people an opportunity to have that association of the transcendental sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra. So we follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, doing the things that Lord Chaitanya did, chanting and following a certain regime as devotees. And Arjuna, actually, after hearing what Krishna was describing, replied to him that he said, "Death, now I'm out of my ignorance, and now my illusion is gone. And I've regained my true memory, true spiritual memory." And all of us actually are all spirit soul, and we have remembrance of that, but now our memories are covered, and our position and our understanding of ourselves as spirit souls and living entities, spiritual living entities, is buried. And that's a very unfortunate, and in today's society we're finding more and more people are becoming more interested in materialistic way of life, and becoming very attached, a lot of material attachments. Actually, they said that material attachments cause a lot of suffering. Therefore, the true spiritualist has to cultivate an attitude of detachment. You have to be detached from material things and become more attached to spiritual things. So that's the golden rule. If you can follow that golden rule, then you'll be happier. And you won't have to go through so much suffering, because, you know, when you're too attached to material things, you'll always be disappointed. Because quite often those desires you have and those attachments you have don't always fructify, you know. Or even if you get those things, you lament because they weren't what you expected, or you lose them again. So that's the nature of the world. It's temporary. It's full of relativities, and it's full of dualities. You have hate, you have love, you have hate, you have hot, you have cold. All opposite type of things, and relativities and so on. So it is said that all of us as spirit souls, we have to rise above that. Come to our original consciousness, come to our transcendental consciousness, or our Krishna consciousness.
This is something that Lord Chaitanya, incarnation of Krishna, who came just 500 years ago, gave to everyone. And it's something that our founder, Srila Prabhupada, wanted to give to everyone all over the world. And now we, as his disciples and grand disciples, are trying to do that. So, here also it's mentioned by Srila Prabhupada that life in the material world and spiritual life should go harmoniously in parallel with each other. You know, you can live in the world in such a way that you can enhance your spirituality, or you can live in the world where your the material side is blocking that spirituality. So it's very important to learn the art of how to live in the world and at the same time cultivate your spiritual consciousness. So you'll find if you talk to devotees, they'll explain to you how we live certain types of lifestyles. We don't do things that put us in what we call the mode of passion, the Rajaguna or the Tamaguna, too much mode of passion, too much ignorance. We live more in the Sattvaguna, the mode of goodness. In other words, we do things in moderation, not too extreme. We don't sleep too little or sleep too much, work too little or work too much, play too little or play too much. All these things have to be done. I think Lord Buddha also had that same philosophy, the philosophy of moderation. And otherwise, if you go too far in any direction and indulge in one thing or another, you'll become implicated and things will get very, very complicated on the material level. So better just to live a very kind of, as I say, a sattva-guna, a mode of goodness life, moderation, and then you don't have to go extreme, because extreme will take all your energy. And then with the remaining energy, you can cultivate your Krishna consciousness. So it's very important to try to understand this point. And it's the essence of spiritual understanding. And one needs that basic understanding. Just like, there was a story of a boatman who rowed a boat across the river for his livelihood. And one time a professor came down and wanted to go across the other side of the river. So he got in the boat and the boatman started to row. And then the professor started asking all sorts of questions and saying that, "Boatman, please tell me what you know of the fauna and the flora, all these types of things." And the boatman replied, "Oh, I'm just a simple boatman. I don't really know that much about those types of things." And the professor, "Oh, you wasted 25% of your life." Then a little while later, the professor said, "What do you know about the clouds and the formation, how all this comes about?" "Oh, I'm just a simple boatman. I don't really know much about those types of things." "Oh, you've wasted 50% of your life." Then some other things, how the river flows and the currents go. "Oh, no, I don't know that much about those types of things." "Oh, you've wasted 75% of your life." Then a big storm came. Started raining, downpour, wind came up, the river came up, and the boat was tottering. The professor got very worried. He said that, "Boatman, what will happen if the boat tips over and we fall in the river?" And the boatman just said, "Well, just swim, professor, swim." And then the professor said, "Oh, I didn't learn any swimming. I don't know how to swim." Then the boatman said, "Then, professor, I think you've wasted 100% of your life." So it's all right knowing so many things, but if you don't know the basic things, then it's really a waste. So we would say that the basic thing is spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, And so, we, you know, try to cultivate that. Try to get that basic idea of who you are as a spirit soul. Krishna tells Arjuna, Jātasya hidruva mrityu dhruvam janma mitasya cha. He says, just as there's birth, there's also death. And then when there's death, there's also birth again. And this way, there's a constant cycle of birth and death, birth and death, and birth and death. But you are eternal. There's no birth and death for you, only the birth and death of the body. So this is basic spiritual philosophy, and everyone should try to understand this point of eternality of existence and eternality of yourself as an individual. Certainly Krishna is eternal, and you are also eternal. But now we just accept temporary things. Our body is temporary, our material mind is temporary. Even relationships in the world, mundane relationships, they are temporary. So, but we feel frustrated because of this temporiness. We want something lasting, everlasting. We want love. We want everlasting love. I remember on the radio years ago there was a song called Everlasting Love. Of course, you know, in this world it's hard to have everlasting love. You know, the boy loves the girl and the girl loves the boy, and then after a short time the boy hates the girl and the girl hates the boy. So this is quite often the case. So love like that in the material world is rare, very, very rare. And actually it can only be attained truly on the spiritual platform. This is why we have spiritual love, divine love. So this chanting is meant to revive that spiritual love, divine love, and that eternality that's in ourselves, that is there in Krishna, that actually is the ultimate cause of existence. So Arjuna, after hearing all these subject matters, all these topics from Krishna, became very enlightened, and he thanked Krishna. He was very grateful, and he was always very respectful towards Krishna. And I think that to learn properly, you have to have humility. If you're too proud, then it'll be very difficult to learn, because you know everything already. You can't hear anything. You know, someone's too proud. Oh, I already know that. So you're blocking yourself. Actually, I think it was Einstein who said that the more I learn, the more I realize there is to be learned. So that's true. Generally, when one has a little bit of knowledge, we see quite often that they're the most proud. They just know a little bit about a few things, but they're very proud of it. But someone who's actually developed a little bit more knowledge, they understand the nature of knowledge goes on and on and on and on and on. So too spiritual. Spiritual knowledge is even more like that. So when one's beginning, one gets an idea of how infinite transcendental knowledge is. And many of us have been devotees in Hare Krishna movement for many years, and still we're trying to understand, but we realize there's so much more to understand. And we realize there's so much more we have to advance further and further along the path. So it takes a humility, it takes a sincerity, it takes a seriousness. We say the Hare Krishna movement is for serious people, because we have certain disciplines. One time actually a reporter was interviewing Srila Prabhupada, and he said that your movement is growing very rapidly, your divine grace, he said. And Prabhupada replied, he said, yes, it is growing, but just slowly, because we have rules, we have disciplines, and people these days, they're not very attracted to following any discipline, to following rules. They just want to have the spirituality, and they want to continue in a materialistic way simultaneously. But that's not very possible, because it's like lighting a fire and pouring water on it at the same time. If you light a fire and pour water on it, it's very, very hard for the fire to get going. So genuine spirituality needs, as I said, that detachment, a certain air of detachment from too much indulgence in material activities. If you indulge too extremely in material activities, it's like pouring the water on the fire. You're lighting the fire of your spirituality, but then you're indulging in so many material activities, mundane activities, and then you're practically putting it out again. So in order for the fire to burn and the fire to come up, your Krishna conscious fire, you have to make a nice fertile garden and pour water just in a certain way. Not pour water like, just regulated in a regulated way, just enough, and then the fire will go. So it's very, very important. And so the seriousness has to be there, the sincerity has to be there, the humility has to be there. Unfortunately, not many of us have that naturally in our coming from a materialistic way of life. Today, society teaches us not to have those qualities. Instead of being, a humble person, practically we're taught not to be humble, to be aggressive, to be proud, to be, I don't think you'll find in schools these qualities taught. All right, children, you have to be humble. You won't find that in schools these days. Perhaps before it used to be there, but these days it's not there. But these are very good qualities to have. It doesn't mean that you allow yourself to be exploited. That's another thing, or abused. That's not humility. That's foolishness. So, but there's a difference between foolishness and humility. Humility means you have a respect, and you're willing. You have an open mind to learn, and it's very important to learn from the proper sources, those who actually have spiritual knowledge. It is like a precious a fruit, has to be handled very carefully. Generally, this knowledge is passed down through a chain of gurus and their disciples, and passed down. In this way, you learn, and the fruit of that fruit, meaning that knowledge, that transcendental knowledge, is handled very carefully. Just like, if you've got a mango tree and then you want to get the mangoes down, you can go up there and just throw them down, roughly, but then that'll spoil the fruit. It'll bruise the fruit, and that mango won't taste so good. But you have to pass it down very carefully. And usually, they used to in the old days, they'd have a chain and pass it down like that. So to transcend knowledge, because it's very subtle. It's very, very subtle. And because it's subtle, it has to be passed down very carefully. And those receiving it have to receive it. Those giving it have to give it carefully. And those receiving it have to receive it very carefully. And then when all those things are in place, then you really benefit. You really start to relish spiritual life, Krishna consciousness. So here Arjuna, coming back to this verse here, Arjuna is like that. He was very humble, he's very respectful, and he achieved the result. And as I said, Srila Prabhupada makes a point here that this should be the result of genuine spiritual knowledge and the genuine spiritual process. You should get out of your ignorance, you should get out of your illusion, you should feel more peaceful, you should feel happier within, you have that inner satisfaction, and if you don't feel like that, then either you haven't got a genuine process of spirituality, or you're not following it properly, or both. Can't be both. you haven't got the genuine process, you're not following properly. But you can have a genuine process, but if you're not following the practice of it properly, then there can be some problem. So even if one is a devotee of some years, if they're feeling not peaceful, not happy, not satisfied, then they have to analyze their own consciousness, their own activity, and see, am I following everything as Krishna describes, as the Guru describes, all the different gurus, all the acharyas? Let me see if I'm following, because actually others who follow it, they get the result. We see Arjuna got the result. Illusion's gone, peacefulness, happy, satisfaction, prepared to be situated in that transcendental position continuously. So anyway, so this is a little bit about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the teachings of Krishna. Some of you are new. Who's here for the first time tonight? Hands up, first time. Thank you for coming. Hope you understood a little bit and learned a little bit tonight. And we thank you for coming. Has anyone got a question they'd like to ask or a comment? Any questions at all? Yeah.
How do you recognize good transcendental teaching? Because surely there must be bogus teaching.
Yeah, that's a good question. Very good question. There needs to be a basic education in regard to spiritual knowledge. And we say society should be organized, just like you have schools these days that teach, you know, to young children right at an early age. They teach the English and the maths and the history and the geography and all. So too, right from the early age, children should be taught about spirituality, spiritual knowledge, ancient teachings in this regard. And then when they get older, they got a little bit of information about that. And so when they're, you know, when they able to come across different teachings and so on and so, they will already have some background information, so then they'll be able to ascertain for themselves what is a genuine process, what is not a genuine process. So there needs to be a basic education in society. Unfortunately, that's lacking. We'd like to encourage it, and even in your schools and primary school, high school, whatever, you can take it right through to university study. So, just like, you know, if I go into a jewelry shop and I don't know anything about, you know, gold, or let's say I don't know anything about diamonds, and I just ask the jeweler, give me a diamond ring, you know, who knows whether there's going to be a genuine diamond. But if you know something beforehand, you perhaps know how to test it. Gold, or test, or do you take someone in there who knows? Then there's less chance of you getting cheated. So we have to be prepared to learn a little bit beforehand, at least get some basic understanding. And then we have to, and then when we want to take up spiritual life, we have to act. We have to take up a practice. It's no good just theorizing. Real spirituality and real spiritual experience comes from practicing it, following it. You know, just like someone who's a doctor will be able to speak about medicine, but someone who's hasn't practiced it won't be able to speak so much about it. So one has to act, and that's very, very important, and practice and follow. Prabhupada gives a good example also. He says, just like the lion. The lion can't expect just to open his mouth and all the animals will run inside. So no, the lion has to actually chase the animals and then he'll get his food. So if you want to know about spiritual life, you have to actually chase it and you have to practice it and follow it. Then you will experience it. Then you will get the nourishment from eating it. Any other questions? All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And now we're going to be serving out a couple of announcements here from Manivandra.